Blog Talk Radio.
More about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. If you listen to the show every month and all the other shows that are on there, sometimes people want to know the links to some of the past shows for the replay. Sometimes you want to know the website link to one of our guests on the show. You can always find that up on our website. Lots of times we try to give out those links and people miss part of it. So feel free to check out the site. We were just kind of talking about it earlier. We're up to about 2,000 shows available in our archives from all the different shows that we've had over the last couple of years. So really excited to have everybody tune in, and we love that you all listen and everything like that, and I appreciate all the feedback. So with that, I want to mention that, you know, we're going to actually be taking callers this evening. So if you want to call in for a reading or to find out more about the guest that we have on this evening, you can call 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And if you're listening to the broadcast through the stream, you'll see that phone number is actually listed right in your window there. So you can just give us a call. And with that, Pam, are you there?
I am. Good evening, everyone. How are you tonight, Mark?
I'm doing good. I know we were kind of talking earlier, with the way both of us have been so busy, or maybe me just being busy, I don't think we talk more than the show, and it's amazing how fast time goes. So it's great to have you, and I was kind of reaching out to you today and saying, all right, looking forward to talking to you on the show this evening. So as always, I love having you on, and thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. I love being here. My last name, for those of you that aren't looking at the board, is Pamela Latour. And I'm on every month on Spiritual Connections Radio. And as a matter of fact, Mark and I came up with the idea to do this radio show. How long has it been now, Mark? A couple of years now.
Yeah. It was a couple of years, and I remember sitting in your backyard at your new house out on the lake, and we were having that discussion.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been a really wonderful, interesting ride, this radio show, because the people that you bring on are just phenomenal, like our guest tonight. Can I go ahead and introduce Mr. Stokes?
Yes, go ahead.
Tonight we have a man named Kerry Stokes with us. He has he's a Native American lineage, and Kerry is certified as a master practitioner of energy medicine and a recognized shamanic teacher. Through the traditions of the medicine way, he helps create sacred space and support for one's own personal empowerment, growth, and healing. Kerry teaches, lectures, holds workshops, and retreats as a private practice in energy medicine, South Florida. He is a founder of the Medicine Way University, exploration, studies, training, and retreats in indigenous energy medicine of the Americas, and there's so much more. But I want him to get into explaining it to us. Carrie, are you there?
I am. Hello. Hello, Pam.
Hi,
hey,
welcome.
Carrie. Thanks for having me on the show tonight. It's always an honor. Appreciate it. Yeah, great.
Yeah, let me, you know, as always, Mark loves telling stories, so let me go ahead and tell this story. It was about, I think, 4 years ago. Is it about 4 years, Carrie?
Yeah, at least 4 or 5. Yeah, it's been a while since
we
first met.
Yeah, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. We were all up, me, him, and about 133 other mediums, including his incredible wife, Elsie. And we were up in Maine doing advanced mediumship training with John Holland. And that's actually where I met him for the first time. I think we got in a discussion about how to troubleshoot MailChimp or something like that, or Constant Contact. And, and I had a chance to meet him and a number of other great people that I have as friends today. And it's funny because there's been this ongoing dialogue between me and Carrie about me coming to train with him for the rites. And just about, I think it was about a month ago, I finally got down to see him after all the years of planning and finally got the rites and everything. It was just amazing teaching, and we're gonna kind of talk about what Carrie offers and all the great work that he does. But I just love sharing that story because it's amazing how spirit kind of networks us together, how you meet all these people on your journey as you go, you know, and you know, all the different people. That's how I actually met Pam. As a you know, she was a great teacher for a number of years for me, for a lot of great classes that she teaches, and, you know, had the privilege of even doing one of the classes at the beach house when I had the beach house out on St. Pete's Beach. So just amazing how things come together. So right back to you, Pam.
Well, thank you. I think you're right about that. You know, the universe works in amazing ways. So, Carrie, let's talk about you. I want to get a little deeper into this lineage, this direction that you've taken in your life. As far as I know, you have American Native American lineage, but I know you've also spent some time as with the shamans in Peru, as well as the American Indian wisdom keepers. I'd like to know, first of all, how you got involved with indigenous cultures and how you use that information to help others. It's kind of a big question.
Sure. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, it's been an honor. It's such an honor to, you know, walk this, what they speak about, the red road, you know, which I think many of us are on. And it's certainly the times are in need for all of us, what I call, you know, waking up, you know. You know, they speak about the shaman or the medicine person, and that's really just a label. I really don't, you know, personally go by that, but, you know, I think labeling sometimes limits our, you know, potential of, you know, unlimited potentials of who we can be. But what I've heard some of the medicine people say, you know, if you don't know the what path you're taking, then, you know, any path will do. You know, it's our responsibility, you know, to wake up and decide which direction we want to go in. So, even before I heard that many moons ago, maybe 30 years ago, I had a period in my life which was started what they call the hero's journey, which is, you know, where you have your own trials and tribulations, and you start to, sometimes it's spoken of part of that dark night of the soul, where you start to, you know, search and find and want to search and find more things that are going to benefit you on your journey. And for me, that was like say many moons ago, and that came to a time in my life when usually you kind of hit the wall. And for me, it was, you know, through a relationship and like that. And I just wanted to, you know, the job wasn't satisfying, the relationship wasn't satisfying. And of course I had to, you know, not point the finger, but look inside internally. And that's kind of put me on my journey. Like, what am I bringing to the table? How can I be better? What can I bring out to the world? And how can I make my, you know, my journey a good one, to be of service. And so that's how I kind of, you know, first started. And through that was just stumbling into, as Mark says, spirit kind of guides it. I was just very fortunate to stumble into the right people, or I shouldn't say stumble, I guess spirit, you know, guiding me to the right people, from, you know, whether it was the first yoga teacher I had, which I started doing, you know, that practice, and studied, you know, Buddhism and had a meditation practice and things like that. And I've always been very open to different modalities, you know, and still am today. I was always very, you know, thirsty for knowledge. And especially at that time in my life was, you know, anything that was feeding my soul, I wanted to, you know, consume it, you know, whether it was a book or a workshop or a retreat or something, you know, because my soul was, you know, yearning for that. And through that, it just started to continue to manifest into where now I'm, you know, teaching or speaking and things like that, which I didn't really see that coming down the road. But I think it was about 2000, early 2000s, you know, 2005, something like that. And I was in Peru. One of the medicine people there, one of the shamans, said, you know, I see you going home and doing this. I actually went on a retreat through this company that put it on, and it was a really wonderful trip where we had a lot of ceremony and received initiation rites. And I took my son, actually, who was a young man who was turning from 12 to 13. I kind of took him as a father-son thing, and something where I felt that it was going to be a rites of passage for him, kind of, you know, like going into manhood. And I said, well, this sounds really great that during this retreat there were going to be a Machu Picchu on the day of his birthday. So that was kind of like a sign. And I went, and at the end of that trip, it was 2 weeks, at the end of the trip, one of the shamans there said, well, you're going to be taking this back home and teaching this and sharing this with people. And I was like, you know, no, I don't see that happening. You know, have you ever been in a conversation where somebody's telling you something and your mind's saying, no, you know, you're not, it wasn't computing. And anyway, I came home, and there was an opportunity. My wife asked me, how did it go? How was the trip? And I said, wonderful, you know, really some great experiences and some good shifts. And she said, are you going to take that further? Are you going to study that further? I said, no, I'm not really feeling that. And about a week or two later, there was an opportunity for a class that opened up, and I just got a real strong hit to go. And once I did, it was just like coming home for me. That was, I did many, many things, but that was the one that really hit home, of taking this medicine wheel training that really said, hey, you know, it was familiar, it felt good, and it was empowering for me on different levels. And through that, just continued to, you know, stay with it. And now, you know, sharing whatever wisdom I can with others. So that was a long explanation.
No, it's a great story. Thank you for explaining it. Tell me about the type of seminars or workshops that you offer now.
We teach different things now than between indigenous medicine ways. Like, you know, we teach workshops on different ceremonial type things, like making or the despacho, for example, is one we're going to be doing coming up, or doing a drum class coming up, making native drums, which is going to be, some of these are co-created. I work with other people, with a friend of mine. If he's listening in, he probably doesn't know because we haven't talked in a while, but that's on the schedule for 2015. But a lot of the kind of base workshops my wife and I do, we do the Moon Aiki, which are the nine initiation rites, which Mark, we had the pleasure of Mark with us last time, which was that September, Mark? I kind of lose track of the dates.
Me too. I think it was September. I don't think we were in October yet.
Yeah, so it was in September. And then, so that's a really wonderful class and big transformational class, I find, for the feedback I get from a lot of people. I teach workshops with my wife. She also does individual, her own classes, but we do the mediumship, which Mark brought up earlier, and we met Mark, how I got into that is I didn't know or had any interest or anything about mediumship other than, you know, I'd see it on TV sometimes, and it was curious to me, and I liked it. And I knew my wife, when we got married, that she had this ability of intuition to see and to make connection with spirit. And it was our anniversary, so I decided to take her up to Omega Institute up in New York. As our first year anniversary, which now we're coming up to our 11th, but it was our first year. And when I took her to see James von Prague there, because I knew it was something, you know, she'd be interested in. I was always, you know, I thought it'd be a nice way to get away other than doing just, you know, going to the beach kind of thing. And in that class, we started to do some exercises, which, like I mentioned, always been open to things. And one of the exercises was psychometry, where you're holding an item of somebody's, a picture or a ring or something like that. And you're just supposed to kind of tap in and see what information comes through. Well, I didn't really, it was all new to me, but I said, okay, through my meditation practice, I said, okay, I'm just going to kind of get out of the way and see what comes up. And during that time, all these, I started getting names you know, of course, you always get the kind of, I love you, and I miss you, but I was getting, you know, answers for this person. And what I like about mediumship particularly is getting the evidential mediumship, and what that means is getting the, I know you guys know, but for your listeners who might not know, is getting something really direct, really specific that other than the I love yous and I miss yous, you know, something where I'll give you an example. I was doing a reading on one woman, and I said, oh, your mother's coming through, and she's showing me that she used to put scripture, you know, underneath your pillow. She would write something out of the Bible and scripture and put it underneath your pillow. So that's very specific that only, you know, she goes, you know, she confirmed that. And that's the kind of things you want to get that allow that person to understand that there is life after life, that their loved ones are okay. And we always tell people in class, it's not about to say, oh, look at me, I can connect with spirit, and that's wonderful, beautiful thing. But the real purpose is to say, is to give that client of yours coming to you the comfort and the healing to know that somebody on the other side is still doing okay. You know, because a lot of people think, or have this perception that life ends here. And from my experience of what I do, is that's not the case, you know. And I know it's very, very healing for that to happen. So when I was able to bring these messages forward to this woman in class, it, you know, I got really excited about it because I saw the healing that was there. The woman started to break down, cry, and said, "One of the name I got a name Bobo," which I thought was, well, that's strange, but they teach you about not editing information you get. So I just gave, I said, look, this is what I got, Bobo. And I got, you know, I love you, I miss you, and yes, the decision you're making is correct. I support you in that. And I see a black and white cat. I see coins. This was the first, you know, contact I had with spirit. And at the end, she confirmed, yes, she was there, that to her husband had passed away, and she was confirming, she came there to confirm, get a message that she could move forward with her. She met another man, wanted to get married, but she was still so connected energetically to her husband that she, you know, wanted to get an answer like it was okay. And his nickname was Bobo. And so that to me was such a big lesson too, that, you know, because at one point I almost held that back because I thought it was such an odd name, you know, odd information that I thought I was making it up in my head. But I know it really came to me. So that was really the confirming point for her, that where it all came together. And then she showed me some, pulled out a pocket full of coins and said, every time I think of him, I pick up a coin, I find a coin, and things like this. And anyway, that's why I find the power in mediumship is really, really beautiful. So that's a class that we teach. I kind of went off on a tangent there, sorry, but that's a class that we teach. And so a mediumship, a lot of the medicine way things, medicine wheel, the Moon Eye Key. We do retreats to Peru and also to South Dakota, working with the Lakota First people there. And what I like to do is have people bring them to an experience that they have that is authentic. And it's up to them to have their direct revelation of what that might be. You know, we could be 10, 20 people on a retreat, but everyone's going to have a similar but different experience. And the point is to help them to have that working with, you know, true, authentic people, and then also have something that is empowering and spiritually shifts them in their life to have a better life. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah.
That does. It's a great – go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, so, yeah, thank you for covering that. You know, before we get too far ahead, can you go ahead and give out your website so everybody can go check out the events and the training and learn more about the work you do?
Oh, sure, thank you. Yeah, just simply info, I-N-F-O, at carriestokes.com. And Carrie spelled C-A-R-E-Y. And then it's S-T-O-K-E-S, carriestokes.com. Just info. I'm sorry, that's my email. My website is carriestokes.com, and my email is info@carriestokes.com. So I was teaching all weekend and working all day, so it's been a long 3 days.
Yeah,
but,
I know how that goes.
If they want to email me, it's info@carriestokes.com, and my email is simply carriestokes.com.
Very cool. So lots of questions for you. Let's go ahead and give out the number to everybody. If you want to call in and talk to Carrie and get a reading and, you know, ask information about shamanism, and you can call 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. You know, Carrie, I guess one of the questions I've always wanted to ask is, you know, what is it like to collaborate with a partner as far as being able to do the things you do? I mean, I've spent some time with your wife, and she is absolutely amazing. I just love all the angel work that she does, and just a very loving energy. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of spending time with her, and, you know, felt very blessed with the fact that she actually came in and did some of the rites. So I'm just wondering, what is that like?
Oh, good question. Yeah, it's actually a great gift. She's made me a better man, no question, made me a better person. You know, they speak about in the medicine way about being self-referencing, you know, part of the, you know, where we want to be is in our, when you're going through training and where, you know, we want to be, whether it's what I teach or what anybody else is teaching, it's, to me, it's all, you know, one. We don't want to start separating things, but it's to be that self-awareness, self-referencing, and she was very instrumental in that, you know, to tell me like, okay, well, if you're, you know, really the spiritual guy, why do you do this and why do you do that? Why do you have this habit or do this? Not that there were really anything really bad, but it did make me better to look at myself and say, yeah, I want to, you know, especially if I'm having the honor to go up and teach people, to really kind of hold that in the sacred and to, you know, walk my talk, if you will, you know, not that I haven't made mistakes along my way, because we are human, but you know, I do the best I can to be a good representative to the, you know, to the medicine, to the lineage, you know, to what you're passing down. It's very sacred, these workshops and classes and retreats, that you are being a sacred witness, as you know now firsthand, Mark, from what I teach. I know you know anyway from going to other people's classes, but, you know, from experience in the Moon Aiki, that you're receiving rites, which are really beautiful, but then when you have the opportunity to gift them to another, you know, what a gift it truly is to be a sacred witness, to watch them, and energetically you can just see the shift happen in them, and, you know, the smile comes across their faces, or, you know, the releasing of any, you know, old baggage or luggage, you know, if you will, or stories that are, you know, holding on to, that they can, you know, make shifts. And I realize, you know, doing this, I think all of us, whether you're listeners or all of us here on the phone, I think would agree, you know, we all start out kind of on our own personal journey for our own healing, wanting to be better, searching to be better. But I found as time went on, I went, wow, it's such a bigger picture than about me. It's really about, as I was starting to heal and to, you know, grow and hopefully be a, you know, better, you know, person on my earth walk, I realize it's, you know, I only have so much time here, that it's really about the generations that follow. So a lot of my passion and our passion, you know, together as my wife and I, is that to make a better world, and hopefully all the people that we can reach out and touch. And we're just the mediators, you know, spirits doing that. We're holding that container, a safe container and a loving container that people can connect with spirit in a good way and realize that their own divinity. So to do that, you know, to go back to your question, to do that with my wife, who, you're right, is very angelic. She's, you know, really sweet, you know, really innocent, and she is like a little child. I mean, she's very wise in many ways, but she has that sweetness of a, like a little child, very loving, and I think that draws a lot of people to her, you know, in that way. So I feel very fortunate to be walking that path with her.
Yeah, amazing. So I know the two of you kind of do a radio show together. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, we started that, I don't know how many years ago. It's kind of interesting because my wife's intuitive and, you know, sees visions. Always saw that at a young age. You know, she had a near death. She was seeing things before that. She wrote a book about that called Dare to Be Limitless. It's you can get on Amazon, Dare to Be Limitless, When the Angels Take Your Hand. But she had this this ability to. I'm sorry. Tell me your question again. I got drifted off for a second.
No, keep on going.
Tell me what your question was, because I started drifting off to thinking about something else. Sorry.
You're
who is this guy they got on the show?
It sounds good to me where you're going. So, I had asked you about the radio show that the two of you do together, so that people know how to find the show.
Oh, thanks. Okay, I knew there was a point to this. Okay, sorry. So my wife has always been seeing this vision. So one day she woke up and said, "We're going to do this radio show." So that's what I was getting at. So she said, "We're going to do this radio." I said, "Fine." And we just do it to give back. So every Thursday night from 7 to 8 p.m. also on Blog Talk, that people can call in, and we do free readings and any distant healing, you know, because in the energy work and the energy medicine or this work, you know, it's, we're stepping outside of linear time as we know it. And this concept might be hard for some people to understand, but it actually is very simple, because this is something, you know, remember shamanism or medicine people, they've been around for 40, 50,000 years or more. And these were the healers, the midwives, the curanderos, the storytellers, the ones who brought in the birth of babies, the one who helped the elders, you know, when their time to transition to cross over, and were involved in all this work. And so they knew that you can travel back in time. That's why you can go back and do a soul retrieval, or you can shoot forward and do a destiny, look for a destiny life or somebody's future. And this has been proven in quantum physics now that time does travel like a figure eight or like a wheel. It loops back onto itself, where in linear time, as we see in our day-to-day life, we think that it's more cause and effect, that we can't change anything. It's like an arrow traveling forward. And, you know, this isn't the case. You know, this is in these ways. That's why you can do distant healing. You don't have to. We see people. We have private practice, and people come and see us in person. But you can also, we work with people in, you know, China, Australia, all over the world, you know, London, all over places, because it doesn't, you don't have to be in, you're not doing the work, spirit's doing the work. I mean, you're facilitating the work, but spirit's really showing up, and the person's stepping into their own power, and they're also part of the healing. So my point being is, so when we have this radio show, we take in callers, and sometimes we'll do readings, you know, we'll get in from spirit, we'll give an information for them. And sometimes actual healing will happen, where we'll work on clearing chakras or removing crystallized energy, which is in the luminous energy field. And for those who aren't familiar with that, that's just your aura or your energy body. And that, in fact, is a physiological fact, is an electromagnetic field. It's not just something, you know, hokey-pokey. So what's a luminous energy field? What's actually a force field of energy around you, just like the Earth has an electromagnetic field. And it has different polarities, and this is where in my training and work, is that this is where the imprints lie in our, you know, any kind of unhealed states that we hold on to lie into the energy field, and that we want to go in there and shift that and clear those out and combust those. If you think about like an etching on a glass, like a scratched up piece of glass, and you're going in there to that etching being an imprint, an unhealed event or an unhealed trauma you had in your life at any age, and also maybe in a past life. But we want to smooth that out. We want to make that glass clear again and clean again. And this, what this does is this allows the person to no longer be informed by those traumas, those old stories or whatever it might be. And people that find themselves in a repetitive pattern, you know, attracting the same relationship, the same job, you know, the same, you know, whether it be toxic or unhealthy or just not serving, this is a clue to that there's an imprint there that needs to be healed. And part of the training and part of the classes we do is that, to help people along with, you know, with that clearing. And it's really, really powerful. And of course, there's soul retrieval work and things like that that really help people to, for lack of a better word, make them whole again, you know?
Yeah, I know. I missed your soul retrieval class. I'll have to put that on my agenda, and hopefully to get it done on, under less than 4 years.
Yeah. love to have you.
Do you have a question?
I wanted to ask you, Carrie, I think shamanism, the word itself, has been thrown around in many different concepts with many different perspectives over the last few years. And I wanted to get your, just a brief explanation, if you would, for what you believe shamanic work is.
Well, I believe a shaman or a medicine person, and some Native people I know don't even use the word, Native First Peoples, they don't use the word shaman. They don't call it, it's only medicine person. They don't even acknowledge that word for, not all of them, but some of them I talked to. So it's not right or wrong, it just is. But shaman is that mediator. So you're just a mediator between spirits. So when I'm working with a client, whether in person or long distance, I'm just opening myself to get information, and I've learned a set of tools and a set of ways that can, you know, some are more kind of modern day and some are more ancient that can help. Again, we want people to recapture what is maybe missing in their lives, or again, clearing these imprints and to become whole and healthy. You know, a shaman's role to me is to bring balance and healing to any situation, whether it's a person, maybe it's the land. The land needs attention, you know. We did a land clearing for a client, a huge horse farm they had, and there was a lot of energy there. We found there was Native American grounds there, and there wasn't honoring. There were still spirits there that had been, you know, they were having a lot of misfortune, mishaps, and there wasn't, you know, we had to honor the land. We had to do prayers. We had to do certain things to, you know, rebalance that land. And, you know, forgiveness and is a huge piece in that work, and I think in any of our lives, whatever we're doing, you know. But it's not a religion either, by the way. Some people ask me that question, you know, is it a religion? I said, no, it's just a way of living life. It's a way of living, you know, from my knowledge, it's not a religion. It's just living in balance and harmony, you know, with all things, and finding that, you know, inner peace, and then we reflect the world of outer peace, you know, so.
Nice. And how about soul retrieval? I've heard the words a few times through this interview, and I wanted to make sure that our audience understands the basic concepts. What is soul retrieval?
Okay, well, that's just something where, and there's a different ways to do it. The way that the main way that I do that is a process of journeying. Any kind of anytime a medicine person or shaman goes into a journey work to do to recapture a soul piece, an energy, it's actually a piece of energy that leaves our body. They go into some state of trance through drumming or rattling or chanting or some altered state of chant that puts you in that theta wave of our brain wave, where you can go into that and search into that place of non-ordinary reality, if you want to look at it that way. If you think of this world as form and matter, and then spirit is energy and spirit, right? So if you think of that equation that Einstein did, was M equals C2 squared. I'm sorry, E equals MC squared. So that is energy, and then on the other side is the form and matter, right? And the shaman, to me, dances on top of that equal sign. So you're kind of working in both worlds at the same time. So to answer your question as far as what soul retrieval, how it happens, or why that happens, is when the world becomes unsafe. When we've had some kind of trauma, it could be a young age. It could be for many different things. It could be some physical abuse. It could be, but also just, it could be a simple thing. Where when you're a little kid, when you perceive something unsafe, it could be, I like to use this example, like if you dropped your parents dropped you off at your friend's house, and they're your best friends, and they know they're going to take care of kids because you just want to go out to dinner and a movie. And when you're a little baby, let's say 2-3 years old, and you were dropped off at their house asleep, and then you woke up and all of a sudden you're in a stranger's house and you don't recognize the surroundings, and there's somebody, maybe you didn't know them, and they're staring down at you over your crib. For a little kid, this could be a trauma. This could be you know, all of a sudden the world's unsafe. Where's mom and dad? So it doesn't always have to be something that's that we think of as a physical or verbal abuse. Or it could be a car accident where there's some trauma. It could be People from combat have been in war, you know, that happens from there because it's, you know, a lot of high stress. And again, the world, when the world becomes unsafe. So when that happens, there's a quanta piece of energy, and this has been proven in quantum physics now also. For your listeners, it might be more, you know, very left-brain thinking and want more scientific facts, just like that the electromagnetic field. You know, we have this, that's a scientific fact, that this quanta piece of energy leaves our body. And when it does that, then it derails our destiny. So it's actually a very practical thing because it's a defense mechanism. So when you can't take the trauma, when it's too impactful, there's a part of us that leaves us. And when that leaves us, then we enter into a new contract, a non-serving contract. So it's, if I do this, I'm going to get this. It's something to protect ourselves. So let's say a child was, there was some kind of abuse, or let's say verbal abuse. And so the child says, well, if I just stay quiet and out of the way, nobody's going to bother me, you know, because if I speak up, all of a sudden I'm going to get yelled at or punished or something like that. Does it make sense? You follow me so
Absolutely.
Far?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
yeah.
So if this happens, then this could be a sense of a soul loss. So then they enter into a new contract, that non-serving contract. Well, maybe their contract was when they were born into this world that I'm going to be a big voice in the world, I'm going to make a big difference. And now all of a sudden they're not, because they were in this situation where they chose a contract that's non-serving. So therefore, as they grow older, they keep, you know, getting into relationships that say if their contract, and this goes into deep into the subconscious psyche. So if this contract that they're, you know, on our middle world mind, they're probably not even aware of, which, you know, most of them aren't. Well, nobody really that I've ever encountered has been. But this contract then derails their destiny, because now they're not fulfilling what bringing their gifts out into the world. So through this soul retrieval, the method that I use, and I know a lot of other people use, and there's certainly this isn't the only one. There's different ways to do it. But I know Sandra Ingerman does it a little different. She's a very well-known teacher and does it a different way. But when you go journey to the lower world, down to that subconscious mind, if you will, then that is the, they speak of four chambers of the soul, just like there's four chambers in our heart. So the first chamber is the chamber of wounds. So you see, you go into this altered state through chanting, drumming or something, you journey down and you go into this chamber of wounds, and you can see what happened, but we want to find the original wounding. So it might have happened, it's something that's repeated in this lifetime, but it might have happened sometime when you were, I'll give you an example, one I did recently where the woman was back in Egyptian time. So it was a time where she was an Egyptian. Sometimes you're not even the same gender. And not everybody believes in past life, but in my experience in this work, they, you know, past lives are, to me, they, you know, there's evidence that they are, you know, it does happen. Our soul does journey through many, many lifetimes. And so we want to find the original wounding, when that happened, then why they entered into that non-serving contract, which that's the second chamber, the chamber of contracts. We want to rid that contract, help them shift a new one. But before we do, we go into the chamber of grace. And that's where that soul piece, that little part of that person has remained in its state of innocence. Okay, sometimes it could be a little girl, 2, 3, 4 years old, or maybe it's somebody older. Maybe it's 16, 17, or it could be, you know, a man or a woman or whatever. But this is where the original, where this soul essence remained in its original innocence and grace. And then the last chamber is the chamber of gifts. And that's usually some kind of medicine gift spirit presents, and then a power animal returns back with that person to help them integrate, reset some instincts that have been missing or lost in that process. So it's very, very, very powerful. And then when that comes back, they can write the new contract. My contract with spirit is, and a life affirming contract. And it's something that, it's not something you do like a reading and you come in and you tell somebody. It's things that you find, and then you help them to have their own self-discovery. So for example, like in the Chamber of Gifts, recently, or not that recently, but a little while ago, I found some with somebody for a jump rope, for example. So it's not me to say, oh, spirit's showing you jump rope and you really need to go out and start exercising. I found this jump rope, and this is what Spirit presented to you. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll get it right away. They, you know, it's usually a metaphoric symbol for what that means, you know. That might be, you know, for example, the woman I had that experience with, she, oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I used to jump rope all the time, and I was so happy during that time. So this is something about remind her of bringing happiness back into her life to connect with this gift of joy again. So.
All right. Wow, that's a beautiful explanation. I don't think I've ever heard it explained quite so well. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I have a question for you relating to, you know, I've done soul retrieval myself, and have been involved in what you're talking about extensively over the years, but I've never experienced this one incident that happened to me when I was doing a mediumship reading, and I picked up the energy. I was talking to, actually, she was a friend of mine, and she had come to me for a reading, and I told her that I had come across two boys, one that looked about 18 and one that looked about 16. And she said, well, I know the one, my brother died at 18, and he, you know, that's very much like him, and that's his name, and that's right, but I don't know who the other boy is. So I go back and I ask, what is your name? And it's like he's not there. It's sort of a shadow of a boy. And I said, you know, I don't get this. I don't understand. This is what I'm picking up. It's like he's there, but he's not there. And she went in to talk to me. And I said, I think his name was Robbie at the time. And I said, I think his name is Robbie. And she said, well, but Robbie's still alive. Have you ever experienced this before, where it was like this younger brother who was 2 years younger than the older brother? When the older brother died, it was his best friend and his confidant and the person that he always went to. And when he died, this younger boy was so distraught that it was like he sent a piece of himself. But I've never seen it like that before. Have you ever experienced that?
I've done readings sometimes where people are picked up information where the energy, yeah, there's a connection is so strong that there's someone there, but they haven't crossed over yet. Is that what you're referencing to? That you're feeling like it almost feels like that you're getting that name or that hit, but that person's still alive.
Like the person left part of the, like separated part of their energy and sent it with the person that had passed on. And she told me that the brother, the younger brother, was never the same after his older brother died.
So this would be something to be soul recovery as well. It also happens where, and we did that in the soul retrieval class, where we did a journey about returning soul parts. We did one where we recaptured soul parts, because sometimes we have relationships and someone will, you know, there's a divide in relationship and there's still part of the soul that person takes, sometimes not even consciously, but they're taking a piece of that soul. We all know people that have been, use that phrase of, like, you know, energy suckers, you know, the people been around, you know, they really want to take, you know, suck your energy. And sometimes it's not, they're not bad people, but they're just, you know, they're attracted to maybe something, a light in yourself, and they start to draw your energy, or you get people around that drain us. Well, this is also pulling energy away. So you can do the same with a soul, that they take a piece of the soul, or sometimes, you know, we involuntarily take a piece of the soul from somebody. So there's a exercise we do, or a journey, if you will, that we do, that we recover lost parts of ourselves, that maybe it's been through some relationship or something like that. And we also do one where we look to see to return the one. And it's funny, because a lot of times in class, people will say, oh, I never, you know, I would never do that. And, you know, probably consciously, maybe you never would, but subconsciously, and this is what we're looking at energy. Because remember, the medicine person, they're always looking at energy. They're not concerned so much with the physical and the mental. They're looking at the level of the soul and the level of the energy. And even Albert Einstein said, you can't solve a problem at the same level it was created. So if we've created something in our mind, and this could be like a relationship split, well, you're not going to, you might work that out and solve that, but it's going to take a long, painful time. Where if you go right up to the next level, the level of the soul, and shift it there, the level of the energy, that's where the medicine person is working. Because when you shift it to soul level or energetic level, then the mind and body follow that. So if you recapture part of a lost soul, then your physical mind and your physical body are going to, you know, realign, readjust to that new, you know, bringing in this new part of yourself, which again I referred to earlier about making ourselves whole, you know, and it makes us whole, and it makes a huge shift. I just seen it so many times through so many years working with clients that it's just very, very empowering. I had it done myself during my training, and it's, you know, really, really powerful work.
That's wonderful. Well, over to you, Mark. You have
very
a
cool
question.
Hey, Carrie, talk a little bit about some of the trips you do down in South America.
Well, we got one coming up in May. Thanks for bringing that up. In May next year, 2015, May 23rd through the 30th. And that's on the website at carriestokes.com. You can look under retreats. But there we basically go over to Peru. We work in sacred sites in the Sacred Valley. We go into Cusco. You go through Lima, which is a big city. Basically, you don't overnight there. You just jump on a little puddle jumper over to Cusco, and from which is a beautiful, beautiful city. It's more like a, to me, like a little town. You know, beautiful plazas and old churches and things and wonderful people there and food and et cetera. And then we drive down into this area called the Sacred Valley. And through there, all these ancient archaeological sites, and some Incan and some even pre-Incan sites that are like Ollantaytambo, Moray, Pisac, and of course we go to Machu Picchu. And every day we're in ceremony. We do a little bit of everything. Somebody just asked me this the other day, well, what is it? Is it all just, you know, spiritual ceremony? I said, no, it's your journey, but it's all split up. We have some ceremonial time. You receive ancient initiation rites. And by receiving those rites, you're shifting the luminous structure of your energy field. So if you think of your energy field as like a blueprint, and your body being the home, so if you're building a house, you have a blueprint to the house you're building, that you're always, when you receive these rites, you're changing the blueprint, you're upgrading, you know, you're adding a, you know, something nicer there into your, which is upgrading your life. So in this way, we do ceremony, we do initiations, and then there's free time. There's free time to enjoy the sights, to go around, and we always have a guide with us who gives you history also, you know, tells you the history, the, you know, what happened there, what, you know, with the Incan people and, you know, why that site was there, why it was built. And they're amazing, amazing people, the Incans. They're really, it's just phenomenal. I've been there for going on 9 straight years now. And it's still just, to me, I learn something new every time I go, and I'm always amazed at how the, you know, they were great agriculturalists and great architects and just beyond their, you know, beyond their years. And some of the sites we go are Incan, like say, pre-Incan sites, and they're really amazing. Some are real unknown, you know, you can find them, Google them and find them on the website, and other sites we go to are off the radar. You know, only the shamans know these sites, and we go into these. And then, of course, we end up like being a little family during that time. People get very close, have really big shifts. Sometimes big healing happens. We had one lady didn't tell us till after the fact, but we knew her through our classes, but she came to our trip, and she told us afterwards that, you know, part of the reason she went on that trip was she had this big tumor she was diagnosed with, going to have surgery. And then when she went back to her country of Brazil, that tumor was gone. So she, you know, she got healed on that trip. And of course that wasn't us, but I mean, it was the fact of just, you know, being open to it, and spirit worked with her and allowed that to happen. So.
Yeah. I noticed with your retreat that you even have a travel agency that helps with the booking of the flights and everything. Cause I would imagine it'd be kind of hard to figure out, all right, I got to fly here and then there, you know, and stuff like that. So that's really great. I see that up on your website that you have this start tours and travel that you're using to help people, you know, get that all scheduled out and everything. Just amazing pictures up on the website about the trip and all the information. That's really cool. You know, looking at all the different gifts that you have and the different training that you've done and everything, I mean, what feels the most sacred as far as the transformation of your own spiritual journey?
Good question. Wow, everything's, you know, I kind of feel honestly in this part of my journey that everything's sacred. Even when I wake up in the morning, I just find myself constantly in a state of gratitude. Even with the challenging things, I kind of, you know, I guess it's come back to self-awareness, self-referencing. And I'm not saying that every day I get frustrated or get upset about something, but, you know, the thing is to not be sourcing from those places. And that's part, I think, in the healing energetically that we're doing. But everything is sacred, you know, everything just, you know, putting my feet down, just, you know, waking up in the morning, especially. You know, I'm probably in the fourth quarter of my life now, you know, hopefully I got a lot of years left, but, you know, you never know when spirit's going to call our ticket. And I just feel a really strong, I couldn't imagine not doing something of service, you know, just being of service, you know, you putting this radio show together is being of service to the world, because I realize, again, my big passion is my son and his children is going to follow behind him and all the children. And that's my, you know, part that drives me, you know, that if I ever get tired or I ever get, you know, feel like I'm getting too busy or something, I say, look, you know, there's a bigger picture here, and that's what drives me. So I feel like everything is sacred, every moment. But it, but the places that touch me really personally, where I get a chance to really go in, is, you know, fire ceremonies are really big, you know. But of course, you know, the initiation rites, we're in these ancient sites and you're doing these transmissions, you know, being a sacred witness to somebody else to me is so sacred, you know, to see somebody. We just did this workshop this weekend and I saw people had, you know, came in with this heavy, dense energy, and when they left, they were floating and smiling and laughing and crying from joy. And that's just so satisfying, you know, to know that, you can touch, you know, someone's life. But it doesn't have to be this work. You know, I think everybody's doing their part, whatever they're doing. You know, if there's someone in the grocery store, I think we're all connected in this great web of life, and we're all doing a part somehow, you know. I just hope more and more people wake up to where we can find a world of peace and a place of, you know, less conflict and more, you know, more unity. And this is what the medicine people talk about, dreaming our world into being. But if we're still dragging old stories or walking around with unhealed places, then it makes it harder to dream that dream, you know, to make it manifest into reality.
Hey, Pam, you want to go ahead and ask a question? I see a couple of callers. Let me go screen them real quick.
Okay, great. I wanted to talk to you, Carrie, about your wife. You mentioned, or Mark mentioned her, a few times, and first I wanted to find out her name. I know her last name is Stokes. We've interviewed her on the radio before. I think it's Elsa or Elsie. Am I right?
Elsa. Some people say Elsie, but it's Elsa.
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 And tell me what Elsa is doing right now. What is she teaching?
Oh, wow. She's busy. Her schedule of private readings and things are beyond busy, but I know she's writing two or three, four books right now. She's doing the children's book. She's doing another book I think she just put out there on beauty, a beauty thing. She channels a lot with spirit and channels she works with herbs and things like that. And even she gets into more of the feminine thing with, you know, she's always putting some cream on me or something. So, you know, use this moisturizer or something. She's always doing these things that make me laugh. You know, the guy, you're like, get that, what are you doing? Get that away from me. But her workshops, you know, she's always scheduling some kind of a workshop out there. She seems to be at the moment being more busy with her books, her products, and her you know, personal healings. But she does do her workshops with the angel DNA She has the Angels Hotline, which is something she created where she's, you know, interview people because she's getting so many calls or has been through the years that she wanted to create a place where people could go and the integrity of those people are good. So they went through her training and then some testing, if you will, to make sure that, you know, people who call in are getting somebody really good on that side who's either bringing messages or mediumship or, you know, whatever like that. And that's angelshotline.com that she has. And her other product is Angels Healing Touch. And then, of course, her website's angelhealingwings.com. That's her personal website. And then she'll come to Peru with me on the trip, and then, which is a really great bonus for the people coming to Peru because she does, like, a third eye activation. She does mediumship readings on the trip. So you get a lot of really cool things. We did a third eye activation right by this waterfall that's at the base of this town of Aguas Calientes near Machu Picchu, and it was really really powerful because being those beautiful settings and, you know, to bring anytime, wherever you are, to bring messages from loved ones, but to have it in that setting. And then she, you know, we're always working to help people clear their energy body and be more, you know, vibrant and healthy. So.
Hey, Kerry.
She's busy. Yes, sir.
We have someone who trained with you this past weekend. Before we bring her on, she has a couple comments for you about her experience, and she just wants to share it real quick as far as just saying thank you. But can you talk about what you did this past weekend just to kind of fill in the listeners before we bring her on so they have a context?
Oh, okay, we did part of the Medicine Wheel journey, which is there's four directions. You go from southwest, north, and east, and it's a personal healing journey that you go on your own. And the medicine people talk about, you know, we walk the way of the wounded healer until we transform our wounds into places of power. And to do that, that's actually a big act of love and compassion to do that. And we want to, in the south, this is the energy that we work with, the archetype of the serpent. And that's about shedding the skin, like a serpent sheds its skin all at once. So we want to shed all these old stories, all these places that are binding energetically, and also we're clearing imprints and things out of the luminous body and the chakra. Because if there's some, let's say you have whatever the instance is, let's say it's a split up of a marriage, for example, and there's some trauma there and you're still holding on to that. Now, some we can have trauma and heal on it and it doesn't show up as an imprint. But if it's something we haven't been unable to heal, it'll cause something toxic in our luminous body and eventually could manifest in the physical. So we went in to clear all that and to release all the old stories. The long and short of it is that direction is releasing all the old stories so we can move on, you know, fully and clearly on our path.
Oh, excellent. May you let her just bring her in for a minute. She just wanted to say thank you. She said she's a little bit too emotional to talk about everything that happened, but she at least wanted to come on and say thank you. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Brother Kerry, this is your sister, Adriana.
Hey, Adriana.
How are you, brother? I'm just speechless. You are the best. You are a gift from the universe, from the angels, from all the ancestors. You really mean a lot to my life. Thank you very, very much for this amazing weekend. It was unbelievable. I mean, totally changed. And I know this is my path. I am so happy to have you as a teacher. And I'm so glad what we did this weekend was amazing. My other sisters and brother, we are so happy. So, Mr. Kerry, you are the best. Honored to have you as my guide and as my spiritual teacher. And I look forward to meet with you, and I definitely invite the other people to make the approach because it's a time, life-changing time. So it's amazing. Munai blesses to you.
Munai, thank you, Adriana. It's so sweet. Thank you. You're an angel. Thank you. It's an honor to share it in such a sacred way with you. Thank you for the kind words.
I can kind of say that, too, that I've done some training with you, and it's been a great honor. And as always, it's great to have you on the show. I appreciate you going a few minutes over on the show this evening. And go ahead and give out your website to everybody.
Oh, yeah, kerrystokes.com. And, of course, the email is info@kerrystokes.com. And again, it was an honor. Thank you so much. I'm touched beyond words. Thank you for taking the call. And she's such a sweetheart. She hosted the place there. She was more than kind to open her home. And thank you guys for opening your hearts and opening your ways to your radio show to help others on the way. And I just would like to leave a message saying that everybody's divine light. I hope they recognize that. And but regardless of the challenges they have in their life, that they realize they have purpose and they have meaning and they bring beauty to the world. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being on, Pam. As always, it's great to have you on. And
you're welcome.
It wraps up another show of Spiritual Connections Radio. So just want to say good night to everybody. And you can find out more about
good
us
night,
on
everyone.
The internet. But good night, Pam. You can find out more about us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, everybody.
Life is but a dream.